Shantal Adierosh. Father, we glorify your name. We welcome you. Blessed be your name, Ancient of Days. In Jesus' precious name we have worship. Father, we ask that you breathe upon your word this evening. And we ask, oh God, that you give us a word in season. In Jesus' name. Somebody say a loud amen. Please, you may be comfortably seated. I'm excited to welcome every one of us to the Ignite Youth Fire Conference 2025. Hallelujah! Anybody excited here tonight? Give him another clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. That was one of those songs God gave some years ago to me. I think it's in one album. Can you imagine? I can't even remember the wordings of my song by myself. I think I need to start singing them more often. What do you think? I think so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name in Jesus' name. I'd like to thank God for the journey message that he granted every one of us from all the places that we have come from. And I believe that this year's conference is going to leave an indelible mark in somebody's life and destiny. In the next 40 minutes, I'll be sharing very quickly on the youth in dominion. Youth in dominion. What I'm trusting God to do is that we'll be going through a syllabus in the next few days. From today till Friday, I want you to see this like a boot camp. I want you to see it like a time of refreshing. You've come into the presence of God. I want you to see it like this is not time for socializing, time for meeting new friends, time for talking and gossiping and just moving about aimlessly, but a time where you are going to dwell in the presence of God, sit in the presence of God, stretch yourself, go to the extreme limit of encounter and desperation. Father, I want to know all that you want me to know. I want to encounter you. I want to become who you want me to be. I want to become a youth in dominion. And I believe that as this is done, somebody's life and destiny will never remain the same in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. ICT, this translucent work is very good. I don't know if you can make it a bit more prominent. A bit more prominent, as translucent as it is. I'll be here with you every day, I'm told, except of course Wednesday, when we'll be here together at the Power Communion Service, the Preservation Service for the month of August. And we'll be going through a syllabus. We want to know who is a youth that is in dominion. And then we'll be talking about take keys, what it takes for us to take dominion. And then we'll be talking about the pitfalls to dominion in the lives of people. And then we'll also trust God to see when we have time before the end of the program of the whole of the youth conference this year to see successful marriage for dominion and for distinction in life and in destiny. So right now we're looking at who is a youth in dominion. What does it mean to be a youth in dominion? Who is a youth in dominion? We're going to look at, use two examples in our reference today, and that's the example of David and the example of Daniel. Now, what does it mean to be in dominion? What does it mean to be in dominion? Dominion means, number one, to be in charge. Dominion means to be in charge. It's not just being in charge. You are in charge of your life. You are in charge of the situations of your life. You are in charge of the things that surround you. Alright? You are in charge of your circumstances. You are not one of those people. You know, some young ladies, I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? The guy that has been talking to me, suddenly he's not picking my calls and he's not answering my text messages. So I'm depressed. And she's walking around depressed. For what? That's totally unnecessary. Being a youth in dominion means you are in charge of your life. Some external force is not what is to direct and control you. This girl, me and her, we've been friends since we were in a primary school. I'm a girl, she's a girl, but she's my bestie. But suddenly, my bestie is now talking to other people who didn't used to be our friends. And so, I'm all upset. I'm not happy. And a youth in dominion is in charge. So when we talk about being in charge, let's welcome Dr. Ron Lewis here tonight. You're welcome. God bless you. He'll be having lots of sessions with us. I think every day too, right? Every day? I think so. From tomorrow morning? Okay. Praise God. You're welcome. All the way from the United States of America, I know that he'll be a blessing to you. Praise God. Like I was saying, so to be in charge means not just being in charge of people or being in charge of things. You are in charge of your own life. You have charge of yourself. Number two, to be in dominion is to be in control. You are in control. You are in command. Anywhere you find yourself, you are at the top in whatever you do. You are in control. You are in command. Number three, I just looked at my time and realized I'm going to rush a little bit more. Number three is to be in power. Now, you know, in the political parlance, when you say somebody is in power, that is the politician that is in leadership. Yes, that's true. But being in power also means that you have you have the ability, you know what to do per time in every situation. You see, when you say power went off, there's darkness, there's no direction. You can't find your way around. You are helpless, as it were. But when you are in power, you know the right things to do at the right time, and you can give the right directions at the right time. Number four is to be in leadership. Being in dominion means being in leadership. You are in leadership. You are both leading yourself, you are leading your immediate environment, and you are leading people. To be an effective leader, you are one who is basically aware of the road to take. You are basically aware of the road that you must take, and then you are able to show people the road to take. You know, I've heard God's servant say before that if somebody claims to be leading and nobody is following, he's only taking a stroll. He's just taking a walk. All right? So maybe they say you're a leader of a department, or you're a leader of a group in your university, or you're a leader in your office, you're a team leader in the office, and you are a team leader, but none of the members of your office or department in your office are following your lead. You are just taking a walk. So being in dominion means that you have the ability to give the necessary direction and to show the way. They should be able to see you and take steps like you in order to arrive at results like you. And so being in dominion means that your life has evidential proofs of what you are saying, what you are doing, and how you are living. The final point, number five, is being in governance. Being in governance, or being in rule. Being in governance, you govern over your environment. You govern over your immediate group of people. Now, when we talk about being in dominion, why do we claim that we can be in dominion? Or why do we think that we have the right to be in dominion? Let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis 1, 28. What does it say? Let's read it loud together. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Praise the Lord. And so at creation, the mandate that God gave to man included the mandate for dominion. He says be fruitful, he says multiply, he says replenish the earth, and then he says to have dominion. After you subdue the earth, have dominion. You have the rulership. So it's a mandate from God. It's an instruction. It's a command. It's not, okay, me I choose I am going to be in dominion. Me I choose I'm going to be halfway. And then me I choose I will not be in dominion at all. You don't have a choice. You have been created to be in dominion. dominion by God. Let's look at number two. Number two reason why we should be in dominion, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Revelation 5 and verse 12. Can we read that also together? Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Praise the Lord. And so, at Calvary, God sent his Son to die for our sins, and by the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have been mandated to have dominion. So, we are mandated by redemption to be in dominion. Now, that redemption passage there talks about the shed blood of Calvary, and it qualifies you to take ascension in the realm of dominion. What are the factors, or what does that dominion mandate from redemption? What does it entail? Number one, we saw there is power. Power. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, so that we can have what? Power. So we can do what? Receive power. What does power mean? A, it's ability. It's ability, skill. Whatever you do in life, beloved brothers and sisters, be a person of ability. Be skilled. Know it, and know it well. Do it, and do it well. Be skilled. Don't do things haphazardly. The young man, a cobbler is a shoemaker. He just fixed a pair of shoes for me some years ago, and I noticed the neatness of his work. As at today, he's reconstructing shoes and recreating shoes at a high frequency. Another young man sitting here, I just cited him, went to learn how to make paints. He's able to make paints. He went further, learned how to use the paints to paint buildings. Went further, learned how to do what they call trolling. And I had done trolling before. It wasn't done well. The mess that was left all over the environment was massive. And the beauty did not come out. And here's this little young boy. And he says he knows how to do it. And I said, really? Okay, let me give you a try. So I gave him a portion of an external wall. And when he finished, the finishing was so neat. I said, don't even bother putting paint. Don't even do what? Don't bother with paint. It's there like that. It's almost 2 years now. Not one question mark. Next time, won't you call him? I was reviewing the people that eat from my kitchen today with one of the staff, and I realized that they are getting the region of 30, 40 people. So I said, why is this one eating here? Why is this one eating here? All these people are married. They have jobs. They have salaries. Why are they eating here? What this one? Why is he eating here? And this, the trolling boy, the painter boy, is on the list. I said, why is he eating here? He only painted for me some years ago, I mean months ago. Why is he still eating from my table? Because anybody that comes to work, during the time he's working, once we cook, we serve them food. Young man, he finished the work and continued coming to eat every day. He has been on a steady diet. So I sent him a text. I said, why are you still eating in the house? You finished working a long time ago. He said, Mama, you see this, that, and the other. And I can't throw him away. If he had done shabby work, you know he can't come near me. So God, at redemption, puts you in dominion. You see, when we are talking about this dominion, it's not for you to dominate. It's not witchcraft we are talking about. Oh. It's not for you to be controlling human beings. And then you cage people. Say, do, you must do it my way. If you don't want to do it my way, you cannot. No! We are talking about being in charge in whatever you do with your hands. Not everybody is going to be a white-collar jobber. Whatever you do, do it with skill. I told someone the other day, I said, I like to empower people. I like to groom people. I like to bring out skills in people and then bring them to the toughest range in their career and their profession. And when I see them and they are there ministry, performing, doing what it is that they have been groomed into doing, it gives me nothing but pure joy. That is the way God feels about you too. Still under this B, when we talk about power, we're talking about might. We're talking about might. When you talk about people that have financial might or financial strength, you see, we're talking about might. Alright? And then number C is strength. When we're talking about power, we're talking about people of strength. That's what we saw in the life of David. Apparently, we're not going to be able to dissect David and Daniel today, but we'll do that in tomorrow's session together. Alright? They are people of strength. And then number D is virtue. A person of power is a person of virtue. You see, sometimes we read that Proverbs 31, young ladies in the house, we like to read, oh, Proverbs 31, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman, I'm a Proverbs 31 girl, blah, 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 blah. It's talking about strength. But you cannot have virtue if you lack integrity. So when we talk of power, power encapsulates strength, it encapsulates virtue, and it encapsulates integrity. Let's go to the next thing that was delivered to us in dominion at redemption, and that is riches. Yes, somebody's ears just stood up now when we talk about riches. Yeah. People like to have enough money in their pockets and enough money in their bank accounts. When we talk about dominion, we're talking about riches. And what do we mean by that? We're talking about abundance, having sufficient. You come to a point in life that you are not living from hand to mouth. You are not just, you have abundance. A young lady gave a testimony here yesterday, Sunday. I think that was the second service. I was so moved. I was so touched. She said, the father first of all testified, and then she now continued her own version of the testimony. And they were doing very well financially, and then some things came up and their finances went down. And the young lady said, every time the semester was ending and a new semester was starting, she would be wondering, where is the next school fees coming from? But somehow God miraculously came through for them. And then the finances will come. The school fees will come. And that and also money to be able to eat while in school and do basic things also, you know, would come. She said she might not have had as much as some other students had, but she was grateful in her heart for what was available to her. That is a secret of greatness. When you are thankful for what is available, God will not let you remain at that level, but will lift you up commensurate to your gratitude. So riches talks about having sufficient. Having sufficient. It also talks B about having in abundance. And C, it also talks about being in wealth. Now you see, wealth is different from what the people, that's prosperity is different from what the people of the world call being wealthy or being riches. This comes with assurance. It comes with peace. It comes with stability. And it comes with preservation. And then number D is possession. You have possessions. You have possessions. So a dominion-minded person is a person who is not just out for expenditure, but out for recreation and ensuring that you have enough available. The third thing in number three of the dominion mandate by God after redemption is wisdom. 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 So when you are a person in dominion, you are a person in wisdom. You are a person of wisdom. You are a person who knows what to do at each point in time. When you're a person of wisdom, you have A, intelligence. There are some people, when they behave, you wonder, is this person thinking from his leg or he's thinking from his head? You calculatively take your steps, intelligently understand what needs to be done per time. And God has empowered you with that at creation. God has empowered you with that at redemption. Number B is knowledge. It's important that, you know, they say genius is somebody who knows something about everything. He knows a lot about everything. There are some people that are clueless in some things, but it's so good when you are knowledgeable about what's going on around you. Young lady, yeah, young lady, with all this guy you have finished doing now, if your button falls off, you don't know how to take needle and thread and sew it. I'm talking to somebody. The first day I heard it from a lady, I said, what? She said she doesn't know how to sew. I think we were in Dubai and we were to do something. And I said, you stop over because I don't have time to like go shopping. I said, stop over, buy a pack of needle and threads so that we can put this in order before we go for the event. Because there was a certain costume that was to be used. I said, Mama, I don't know how to sew. And I'm like, what? You don't know how to sew? She said, well, she has no idea. Well, so I had to do my own and do her own. And I said, when we come back to Nigeria, we'll sit down and do a sewing lesson. We never got around to before she went back to her country. But what I'm saying is, it's important that you are skilled, you are knowledgeable. You know how to cook. Woman, you know how to clean a house. You know how to wash clothes. You know how to do stuff. Young man, you know how to change a tire of a car. You know how to wash a car in the morning. You know how to do morning parade on your car. That is, every morning before you get into the car and you drive it, you know that you must open it and check your engine oil, gauge it, check your water, you gauge it, and you do your basic checks, just walk around your tires, and sure everything is in order. Before you enter the car, you start going, basic things. Even women should know that if you drive a car or you own one. So, knowledge, the ability for it has been bestowed on us at redemption by the slain work of Jesus. Number three is ability for easy decision making. Decision making. And then D is inventions, being an inventor, you're right, all right, you know, something goes bad and you're able to create an immediate alternative. This is wisdom that helps you to live life above board. Somebody say amen. Is anybody still listening to me? Are you learning anything tonight? What else does dominion entail by redemption? Number four is strength. Now, this is a double emphasis because you remember we talked about power earlier. And inside power, we talked about strength. Did we not? So when God is talking about power and then he comes again and talks about strength, which again, strength is involving A, ability, it's involving B, might, it's involving C, the same virtue. All of them is almost basically power. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. That leaves no room for you to be a vegetable in life. Is anybody listening to me? Not this one, you wake up today, I'm tired. Let me just sleep a little bit more. What does that scripture in Proverbs say? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding on the arms to rest, so shall your poverty walking, creeping on you like an armed man. You know the other passage? Okay, there it says, Proverbs 6, there it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Next verse. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That shall not be your portion. What about the one that talks about, I passed by the way of a slothful man, and the weeds were overgrown, and everything was, you know, falling down. And then the other passage again in Proverbs that talks about the man that went to hunt. He caught the animal, but he brought it home. He was too lazy to roast it and prepare it and preserve it. And the animal he went and pursued and caught spoiled. So when God tells us about power and then comes again and tells us again about strength, he's saying that he has given you everything you need to walk preciously. You remember in scriptures when Pharaoh was asking Joseph about his brothers, his brethren. He said, is there any man of activity among your brethren? Are there some hard-working people? Let them be in charge over my cattle. There are people looking for workers, but they don't want lazy workers. They don't want slothful people. You cannot commit responsibility to who will not carry out the assignment. There's a young lady sitting here now. She's schooling in the UK. They came, she and her brothers and sister, came for the conference. Her parents have means. They can sponsor her and do everything they need to do. But guess what? She's going to class and she's doing business. She's advertising. Place your orders. You have a party. You have a cocktail. Order your small chops. Order your moi moi. Order your pot of soup. Order your 1 liter of soup is so and so pounds. 1 liter of stew is so and so pounds. And she's there. She's combining it with reading, combining with writing exam. And her CGP is high up there in the first class grade. And she has time to do this. And she's not tired. The brother comes in once in a while, helps, and they are walking. You can't sit there and say, brother, what are you doing? I have an uncle who is a senator. He has refused to help me. I'm just here like this. See how I'm suffering. Who stopped you from going to carry block in the construction site? Carry it until you gather money to be able to start a viable business with the money you've gathered. You've heard God's servant tell the story the other time about a young man who read architecture, finished first degree, then did master's in architecture. Came into Abuja town years ago. There was no job anywhere. Nobody was listening to him. Nobody was giving him job. Nobody was employing him. What did he do? He got into a construction site and joined the laborers. He was carrying blocks, carrying bricks, doing labor work because he couldn't even do mason work because he wasn't a mason. So he was among the laborers. So you know, normally if you pay mason, how much is daily pay now? My guys don't even know. Daily pay now probably maybe is 3,000. In those days it used to be like 1,000 or something like that. And how much? 10,000. Wow. Well, I don't want to go and become a site worker, Sha. If not, I'd have said when I grow up, but I don't want. Alright, so if the mason is 10,000, then maybe the laborer will be 7,000 or 5,000. And this young man was there working. And then one day, the construction site supervisor kept watching him. And he called him and said, I see the way you carry your blocks very systematically. I see the way you conduct yourself. Yeah, you're wearing side clothes, but it's decent, it's neat. And then when those guys are there talking anyhow, using curse words, I see that you are talking well and decently. What do you do? The guy now told him that he's MSc architecture. He said, what? And you're working as a laborer. Why? He said, because there was no job. He carried him to the owner of the site. That's how come he became architect in charge of the same site with this supervisor now under him, all the laborers and the masons under him. Cut a long story short, he kept on working hard, gathered sufficient funds. Today, he owns properties all over the cities, hotels, all manner of things. He didn't sit down. Beloved, God has given you double strength. Tell your neighbor you have double strength. Tell somebody else you have double power. So that you will not be weak. So that you can walk. Tell somebody it's time to be precious. Tell somebody else it's time to be precious. Tell one more person it's time to be agile. Somebody say amen. Number 5 is honor. What does honor mean? A is value. Is value. When you are a person of dominion, you have honor. That is, you are valuable. People value you. There are some people in some offices, they say there is downsizing and you want to reduce number of staff. There are some, the CEO will tell you straight away, don't touch this one. Don't touch this one. This one is valuable in this company. This one is important in this company. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? Be a person of value. Honor, B, means to be precious. When you are precious, you cannot be dealt with or handled anyhow. You see, we cannot talk about honor without talking about integrity. Young lady, that guy that is coming around you now, smiling for you, say, hey, you are the sweetest girl in the world. You are the most beautiful thing that ever happened. Hey, in fact, I can't sleep at night when I'm thinking about you like this. Kai, in fact, hey, you are the only sugar in my tea, including the only mosquito in his net. That same guy, especially when they are sent by Satan the devil, if he defiles you, the same person that was saying those sweet words is the same person that will talk to you with disdain, dishonor, disrespect, disregard. Why? Because value is gone. Honor is gone. So in everything you do, maintain your honor. Maintain your integrity. Maintain your dignity. Don't fall like a cheap pack of cards. Be like a well-fortified wall that cannot be easily moved. I'm telling you something, a time is coming. You will be the apple of the eye of your husband. And that is, you have married in integrity and in purity and in honesty, and you cannot be shaken. If there is such a sister in the house, shout a loud amen. Honor also means to be priceless. Means to be priceless. You are so valuable that nobody can compare with you. In all that you do, you are priceless. Maybe you are the president of your campus fellowship and you are operating with honor and dignity. You become priceless in the eyes of the other students. And they say, he is such a blessing to us. He is a priceless commodity. You shall be termed priceless from today. And D, when you are honorable, people accord you with honor. You know what they call honorarium? How many of you know what they call honorarium? You don't know. Okay, you're being shy. Whatever. But honorarium means you do some work and then you get to be honored for it. It's not like a payment, but it's to say, oh, we appreciate and value what you did. Here it is from us to you. It's a sign of honor. If you're a person of honor, you become a natural candidate for honor gifts and for honor expressions. Praise the Lord. Number 6 is glory. Glory. When we talk about glory, we're talking about dignity. We're talking of esteem. All right? Your life is glorious. Your life is a blessing to your world. Your life is a life that people can look at and they can exemplify you. I'm rushing against time now. And then number 7 is blessing. You all know what blessing entails. Abraham gave Isaac the blessing. And that blessing positioned Isaac to be among the progenitors of the children of Israel. Today we talk about the God of Abraham and Isaac Unfortunately, the next person that was to be in that lineage was Esau. Esau, the son of Isaac. They were twins, Jacob and Esau. But Esau, the Bible uses the word, was a profane person. Profanity, recklessness, lack of control, indiscipline, lack of decorum. And at the end of the day, what happened to him? He lost his birthright. He lost the birthright. I keep saying it every time I talk about this. I say, how can somebody, Esau came home and his brother Jacob was cooking porridge, like beans porridge, and it was on the fire. He was cooking it. So Esau came from outside. He had been running around pursuing some rabbits all day. And probably that day he didn't catch any rabbit, he didn't catch any hare, he didn't catch any deer, he didn't catch anything. So he came back and he told his brother, give me out of that porridge you are cooking, Jerry. And then the brother has been watching him and has been timing him. I know this guy. Food. Adojire. Food. Cannot control his appetite. Food monger. One day I'll catch him. So that was the day. So he said to him, you need food. What will you sell to me? Say, what do you mean? I don't have money. Say, well, you have a precious commodity. What is the commodity? Say, your birthright. Then he looked at him and said, what has a birthright? What do I have to do with birthright when I'm dying of hunger? Question mark. Can you die of hunger in your father's house? With your mother there in the kitchen. Signed agreement. And the mother was the witness of the agreement they signed. He lost it. And so today we say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Take a time, sit down, say, this week I'm studying on the topic of the blessing. Study it, understand it, appropriate it, and then walk in the reality of it. Somebody is living here, a blessed man, a blessed woman, a dominion youth. If you are that person, jump up on your feet and shout aloud, amen. Amen. Lift up your hands and your voice today and begin to talk to God. What the dominion mandate entails does not give room for you to be a timidity person. Walking around defeated. Walking around to migrate there to do menial work, like laborer in the restaurant. They are not the chef, or they are the ones that pound the yam. They are the ones that wash the plates. You know those kind of things. A lot of them did that. So generally, they looked down on the tribe. We had two other ladies from my tribe that were in my class in the medical school, and then me. Now, I had grown up everywhere else except there. So when I came, I didn't know that my tribe is supposed to be a tribe that is looked down on. Do you understand? I didn't know that I was supposed to be operating in an inferiority complex. So I was myself, bold, audacious. Well, lecturer asked me questions in class. I put up my hand, answer, and do all I need to do. And I noticed the others, they were just generally like this. You know, as if they were walking on eggshells. And I'm like, what's this all about? I didn't even know until much later. I think after I had even married, then I got to be downloaded by God's servant, the story of what used to happen in those village areas. I said, oh, is that what it was? So your mentality is a determinant of who you become. And I want you to lift up your hands and your voice this morning and begin to tell God, Father, I have been created for dominion. I am not to be an inferior, a timid, and undertrodden person in life and destiny. Lift up your voice and pray. I have 1 minute to go. My time is up. Lift your hands and give God that prayer with intensity at this time. Father, Lord, I ask for your help. Father, I ask that you help me to understand who I really am in dominion and to take my place in dominion, to take my place in authority. Father, in the name of Jesus. I look up to you and I vow to give you all the glory and the praise. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Somebody say amen. Thank you very much. I see you have added me some minutes. Let me quickly utilize that for what I love to do the most. Tonight, you want to say the beginning of this conference. For it to be meaningful in my life, I want to make my ways right with God. I don't want to be in timidity, or I don't want to exist in inferiority. I don't want to exist in depression. I'm not a worst sinner, but I know that there's something that is hindering me. There is a rope that is holding me back. I'm trying to move, but something is holding me back. And you want to say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. I want to start off this conference with the assurance of my salvation, with the assurance that everything between me and God is right. I want you to lift up your hands. Let me see you where you are. I want you to pray. God bless you. I see your hand. Oh, you're waiting for somebody else. Lift up your hands, Joe. Don't mind anybody here. It is between you and God. It's not what anybody thinks or says about you. Anywhere you are, you lifted up your hands. Pick your bag and your Bible. Step forward here. Come quickly. Let's pray together. Come. I want to pray with you. Don't look around. You might be the president of your ESCO in your university student fellowship. I don't care. That's not the important thing. The important thing is between you and your God. I'm making my ways right with God. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want one day I'm standing before the judgment throne of God and God is telling me, you are meant to be like this, but you are like this. And you are only down here because you did not establish your relationship with God. I want to put sin away from me. I want to put inferiority away from me. I want to be bold and audacious. God bless you, all of you coming out. Join them quickly. Come out. Don't wait for anybody. Don't think twice. Whatever anybody thinks about you is their opinion. What is most important to you is that you and God are in relationship with each other. And this conference is the determining day of your relationship with God, making things right between you and God. I'm so excited. I love you all. I'm so excited. I'm so happy for you. There are some of you who are going to go back to school, go back to your offices, go back to your university, go back to where you're coming from, and you're going to tell them, look, I'm a new creation. I used to go to church. I was just religious. But now, I have a personal standing relationship with God. My life has been transformed. I want you to join me. And if they don't want to join you, you part ways with them, because if they won't follow you to heaven, you definitely will not follow them to hell. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Let me redeem my time. We cannot sing now. You wanted to sing, Lord, I give you my life. Lift up your hands, those of you in front here. Are you excited? Are you happy about your decision? Are you glad that you're taking this stand today? I'm excited for you. I am very happy for you. Lift up your hands. Pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I come to you today. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. From today, I turn my back on sin. I will live to please you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. From now, I will live a life that glorifies God. I will live in dominion in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and put one hand on your chest. I'm going to pray for you to break addiction. You know that if there's just that one thing, that's why you came out today. It keeps drawing you back, keeps taking you back. You pray this prayer like this before. Then before you know it, you are back in that sin, right? Yeah. Today that thing will end. Are you ready for it to end? So lift up one hand, put your hand on your chest and say, Jesus, today I am now born again. I have rededicated my life to you. And I now stand on the authority of the word of God to refuse addictions. That devil that keeps taking me back to sin, I refuse you now. I renounce you now. I disconnect myself from you now. I set myself free from you now. Satan, thus far have you gone, and no further. Help her there, yeah. Your hold is now broken. Say it boldly. Say, your hold is now broken. Say, Satan, your hold is now broken. From my life, I am now free. Every addiction, get out. In Jesus' name. Can you name the addiction? I refuse you addiction. I refuse you pornography. I refuse you masturbation. I refuse you homosexuality. I refuse you lesbianism. I refuse you alcoholism. I refuse you bed gambling. I refuse you tobacco smoking. I refuse you LSD and whatever drugs. I refuse you. You secret habits. Get your hands off my life in the name of Jesus. Jesus has paid the price. I refuse you. Call the name. Call the name. That thing that keeps taking you back to sin. Call the name. I refuse you. I refuse you. I refuse you in the name of Jesus. Now lift up your hands. I pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break this yoke of sin from these bodies. In the name of Jesus, I set these ones free. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I declare your liberty. Satan, your hold is broken from this life. In the name of Jesus, from today, you shall live for God. You shall serve Him. And that devil is hereby bound from you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going forth. You are breaking forth. Not to go back to sin again in the name of Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah. Congratulations. You can smile now. Wipe away your tears. Smile. Be excited. Congratulations. It is done. Yeah, we can celebrate now.